We're going to continue discussion for 24-129, Dr. Wright.
Yeah, I think we're kind of in a conversation.
Yeah, I was kind of in, yeah, in, I guess in the last ones.
Yeah.
So I agree totally that exploratory is the proper avenue in a lot of cases. Negative exploratory is not a problem. I agree with that. And I also agree that there was a time when it was a tool that we had to use a lot. But those days are gone. So you have to look at the total picture here. And the total picture is we have an older dog, stable, radiographs inconclusive, likely not demonstrating a mass, and we made a recommendation then to go to surgery, and I think we heard that the respondent would have done the surgery if she could have right then. Other diagnostics, abdominal ultrasound, I believe is available in this hospital. When you have a suspicion of organ enlargement, organ megaly, then ultrasound is the gold standard at that point. You do an ultrasound and you see nothing in that spleen, the organ of concern here. Or you see a splenic tumor and you see the liver is involved. So now you're not going to likely not do exploratory at that point, depending on the discussion with the owner. So ultrasound is really where we need to go. Now I think a discussion can be made on where the responsibility lies in this case. Is it with this respondent, or is it with the doctor who ultimately did the surgery? I think that's a discussion that we should have. But based upon just, in this case, the patient that we have immediately going to surgery at the with the information that we have was, I agree with the investigative committee in my way of thinking that this was recommending surgery and would have proceeded with surgery in this case was the wrong way to go.
Does anybody have a motion?
So you're thinking like a violation or a letter of concern, or what are your thoughts
on
that?
Well, he was agreeing with the investigative committee.
I agree with the investigative committee.
I mean, does anybody need more clarity on what was offered to the owner?
Yes.
Is that something we can question today, you think, or?
I'm fine at least hearing what was offered. We won't have it from the owner, and the owner's statement is so small, I don't.
Yeah, right. So we can call up and ask a couple questions about like what's available at the hospital potentially, or is that something we have to move to?
I mean, you can keep in mind the time frames.
Yeah. Just a couple questions.
So, I mean, but she did say in her statement today that mm-hmm. if she was going into surgery, then she would have ultrasounded.
Or gotten biopsies even when we're in there and that kind of thing too.
Right. So I mean that was said in the statement. So if you're
I just didn't know if there is there actually ultrasound capability at the hospital?
Yeah.
How long does it take to do?
Well if you say you're gonna do you would have done an abdominal ultrasound, that would insinuate there's an ultrasound there.
Well I would have said that and I'd have been calling someone in.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm gonna do an ultrasound, but I'm calling that person to do ultrasound. That's smart.
Yeah. My concern with the statement is that's after the investigative committee discussion. Mm-hmm. Right, like we have to go off of what was offered to this owner and what was done at the time that this was done, not what would I have done differently looking back on it.
Yeah.
You know, and because that's what really happened is what happened that day.
Yeah.
What was recommended that day. I just can't tell I don't see it in documentation on either side, the complainant or the respondent, that things were offered. It looks like it was, we see this mass and we need to go to surgery.
Yeah.
That's right. That's my point. I didn't see any discussion about ultrasound in the record at all.
No, I didn't see that at all, that's for sure. That's why I didn't know what modalities they had at the hospital available. Or is that something you have to call in and it's going to take a week or two to get scheduled, like it does a lot of times anymore. So it's hard to say there. They're
different factors.
Yeah. So that's only my question. But like I said, if this is a... It's hard for me on this one because... Like I said, a second doctor's involved after the fact.
Right. Well, we can open it. We have the option to open.
No, I know, but like I said, is this I mean, the responsibility of the initial doctor that yes, we didn't discuss things, okay, and we can discuss that portion being a potential violation or what, but
we have
recommending
a
surgery.
We have a recommendation of the violation,
yeah.
And from this discussion, I think there are questions that
yes.
we would like to have answered.
Yes,
but so I also think that the as it stands right now. If we go off of what's in the medical record and what's in the complaint, nothing else was offered.
Yeah.
So not, yeah. If the complaint is not specific to going to surgery, the complaint is specific to you didn't offer other things before going to surgery, right? I mean, not the complaint, but the violation.
The violation.
Right.
So for not offering further diagnostics or a second opinion before recommending surgery. So that we are pretty confident from what we have in the medical record here, that was not done.
Right.
So unless people feel like they want to ask that again, like to get more color around that, then I feel like that violation is still in order.
Yeah, I agree. I only heard that the respondent say that I would have done an ultrasound before I went into surgery, so. That was why. What were the conversations between?
Well, I guess that's if we can call it back up and ask the question. I guess because we're kind of speculating a lot of what's available,
right.
What's not. Just see, is it actually available? So if you can come back up and we'll ask that question.
And then if it spurs other questions, we can go to an informal.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
All right. Sorry. Thank you for coming back up. We don't need to restate names or anything, right?
She's still
okay. Cool. So. For additional or other modalities, do you have ultrasound capability in that hospital? Is that something you have to call in a outside service?
There was ultrasound capability in the hospital, and you know, as I said, I felt the dog was stable, and so you know, I felt that I couldn't do the surgery, and I wouldn't have done it that night anyway because the dog was totally stable. So I would have done it at a later date if I had been able to. But at that point, you know, I didn't offer ultrasound. I was in a bit of a time crunch because I was going to the emergency clinic for a shift that night. And this was at 5:30 or 4:30 or 5:30 at night. So I didn't offer an ultrasound at that point in time. But I would have, if I had done the surgery, I would have done an ultrasound.
An ultrasound is something you can do?
Yeah.
You have the ability yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, those are my questions.
Thank you.
So, but I didn't because of the joint crunch at that point in time.
Okay.
And the dog was very stable.
Thank you.
Okay.
So,
all right,
and it wasn't discussed at all, correct?
This was so long ago that
I
usually do. So I would be surprised if I hadn't have, but I can't remember,
okay.
To be honest.
So the only thing is, do we have to hear from the, with this in mind, do we need to hear from the complainant?
But
whether
the complainant didn't come up.
Yeah.
I mean, the complainant filed their
because
complaint.
Because we had such
not
a...
And it's not
in
the records, we have
to
assume that it wasn't.
Right.
So, I mean, so I'm looking there. But I'm just, because this was separated by such a long time, is that more a layer of concern or is it actually a violation? Because, like I said, that could have been done a second time too. So, I mean,
That's good point.
I'm having a hard time with the full violation here because it's just a quick appointment. Yes, recommendation for surgery was made based on what was seen, based on the x-rays. Like I said, was it technique? Why was there loss of serosa detail? Was there thought of blood in there? Well, why was the lateral okay? So, I mean, there's a lot of things there, but the fact is that was just a recommendation and the procedure was done over a week later. And that's just where I'm having a hard time of, is that a violation or is that a letter of concern that more stuff wasn't talked about at the time.
Well,
but what was done that day was completed.
Well, Dr. Wright, there was clearly enough time to do the ultrasound between the initial
another
appointment
day.
And
correct.
The surgery. I think
yeah.
The question for me would be, when did the transfer happen? So was it under Dr. Barnes or Dr. Maltese that had the option and didn't take it to do the ultrasound before the surgery? Because surgery is, as you guys know better than I do, I'm the lay person on the board for the public, has its own attenuated risks. So
I think we're all saying that ultrasound in this case,
yes,
being available in this hospital, should have been offered,
yeah,
at some point. The question is, at what point and whose responsibility was that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yeah,
that's where we are.
So, both of them, honestly. I mean, if you're the one that sees his face and you do the x-rays, and you're going over the x-rays with the owner and you see the lots of detail, potential mass, whatever you, however you interpret this, the onus is on you to say, here's what the next step should be.
I think so.
And if you're saying the next step should be exploratory and nothing else, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, if you're saying the next step should be, this is getting a little out of what we can do today, we're gonna refer to another doctor, that doctor's gonna pick it up, then it's on them.
Yes.
But you made a recommendation as to what the next step was, and your next step was surgery.
Yeah.
Right?
And we're not clear whether that was, we're still not clear whether that was done. It's not in the record.
Right.
That's what we know.
And we know if it's not in the record, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So,
a motion?
I have a hard time with a motion. Does anybody else want to make a motion to see? Because
I'll make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee with 3222-32, number 12, as it relates to R311-5011 for failure to provide current professional and scientific knowledge for not offering further diagnostics or a second opinion prior to recommending surgery.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are you offering a consent agreement?
I guess.
Yeah, we should vote on this though first.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have a motion and a second. Any other? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Motion passes.
So then, we could offer a consent agreement. Anybody?
I mean, x-ray reading would be,
I guess,
huh?
X-ray reading would be probably the most appropriate one.
Are you trying to put together
what
do you need to ask if there's any other like violations or history in it?
Are we at the point we can ask for priors to before we make an ID on our CE plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Tracy, do you have that information?
Yes, I'm going to grab that. Do you guys want to first accept the committee's findings of fact as your findings of fact? And then we can go into the possible previous disciplinary history.
The findings of fact and conclusions.
Motion.
Yeah.
So we did the conclusions of law. It was because we took their motion, right? So now we just need to approve. I'll make a motion to approve the findings of fact as documented in the investigative committee report.
Second.
Okay, motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, motion passes.
And Dr. Barnes, her previous disciplinary history is none. She did have a letter of concern in 2022, and that was with respect to communication with the pet owner regarding a cystosmentesis.
Thank you.
So if we do a consent agreement, it would be, I would be leaning towards like 3 hours of CE in diagnostic imaging, because that could include ultrasound or radiology.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's communication, because it wasn't bad communication, it just wasn't done. It just wasn't offered, right?
There wasn't any communication.
Yeah, so I guess I would just stay with that, and no civil penalty, and then if not signed, within 30 days, we'll go to an informal.
Second.
Is that a year probation?
Year probation.
A year probation. I don't know where my red book is confirmed.
Like you don't have it.
I kept looking for the red book. I'm like, where's my red book?
I know.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Voice vote's still okay? Our voice vote's okay?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. All right. That is concludes the 24-129. Do you have
student Dr. Merrick?
Okay, all right. So now we're gonna move on to section 4, number 1, case 2454 regarding Aaron Miracle DVM monthly appearances required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided. Hello, Dr. Miracle. Hello. Oh, and your council appearance. Hello. Okay.
They snuck up there.
All right. So, just a little update. I know we have some information from you.
Yeah, with the continued frustration with the monitoring program I had been with, mm-hmm. Mr. Carey had found another one that was used by the Board of Nursing that seems like it's going to be a better fit, and hopefully one that I can make sure that the Board's requirements of them sending the results in and being able to access that without me having to bug someone every month about sending results in. It sounds like it's going to be a good fit. Also, because of the lapse in testing, I did submit a voluntary test on Monday. I don't have those results yet, but those will be forwarded hopefully as soon as those results come in.
And they'll be forwarded from the testing site or from you?
Because this is the old testing site, I'm going to have to bother the case manager to get her to send them, and hopefully I can get her to reply all to that email, because usually I send an email and I include Victoria as well, and it's not always consistent that she replies all with the responses. She often just replies to me, at which point I just forward the entire email chain to Ms. Whitmore just to make sure that she's seeing exactly what I got.
Okay. Regarding the other communications that we received, there was some question about relief work?
I did have some questions about reporting requirements and what's required of my sites if I pick up relief work. Those got answered to what I expected that was going to be, so I don't have any other questions at this point.
Any questions from the board?
I might ask Victoria a question. Have we received any drug test results within the last 2 months?
She's been forwarding.
So Dr. Miracle's been forwarding.
Okay.
The issue is the
because I saw the history for checking in, but I didn't see the results.
Yeah, they're like a screenshot, right?
Okay.
They're there. It's a screenshot essentially. Yes. with the new site, do we know when we anticipate when that'll start?
Right now, I know that Sam Levin, who is the Recovery Trek contact, is in contact with Victoria. So as soon as we get the blessing, we just have to trigger something on the website, and it'll start giving her notifications.
Yes, I have been in contact, and we haven't been able to speak, but we did exchange emails yesterday with the gentleman from Recovery Trek. So what's described to me does sound good. We have to be able to create an account with them, and that's where I need to talk through with them to make sure that there's no expense to the board to work as far as, as long as they're not, I'm assuming that it's fine. So, but I'm in good contact with them.
Great.
so she's a good communicator, as is Mr. Carey. So
yeah,
I appreciate that.
And that's the one that the nursing board officially uses. So anyone who's on a either disciplinary or non-disciplinary monitoring agreement, that's the system. And so they have the ability for individuals to plug into it as well. And so that was the solution. It just gives her access to a lot more sites in Kingman for testing.
Okay.
And the system is much more transparent, and there's a login for Victoria as well. So it's there's no having to wrangle people to be able to send reports and things like that.
Okay.
So.
Sounds like a good solution.
Yeah.
And then do we need to talk about the additional pharmacy? Do we need to go into executive session for medical?
I personally don't think that's an issue.
Okay, all right. And any questions from board members on that piece?
No.
Otherwise, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Things? Ready to add to your plate, it sounds like, with the relief component. That's some deep waters.
I do like it, and it's definitely needed. There's not enough of us to go around, and people need vacations, so the coverage that's there is a benefit. I mean, the money is good, but I also like seeing how other clinics function and how they do what they do. But it is also something I'm approaching with a bit of caution, because I don't want to overwhelm myself with doing too much.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I have my Kingman Hospital is the dedicated focus. And if I can pick up a shift here and there that's not going to totally throw me into chaos at my normal job, I guess, mm-hmm. then I'm happy to do so. But
okay.
It's a balancing act.
Okay. And it may be wise, and this would probably be more courtesy on your part than a responsibility per se, but oftentimes practices have a DEA registrant that mm-hmm. is responsible for what drugs are ordered and following DEA, the Controlled Substance Act. And they have a very strict, and DEA registrants often don't know this, they have a very strict requirement as far as access or mm-hmm. anybody that has, you know, charges and such, to where they have to get approval from DEA.
Okay.
To have somebody there. So I would just be cautious in the sense that it could get that person into trouble if they're not following the federal side of that. So again, being a good steward of what you're going for in the profession, you know, trying to make sure that you're balancing yourself and also maybe providing relief professionally, maybe mentioning that to them so they can do their due diligence. But again, that's on them ultimately in the end. So, okay. Well, good. Well, glad things are well. If there's no other questions, then have a great rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I thought we would do Dr. Palanos next, but
yep. Did you get a call or anything, or have you seen, has she checked in?
I'm just emailing her attorney.
Okay.
If you want to do prepare by phone, but we could go ahead and get Dr. Byrne on the phone and do Dr.
Dr. Hensberger's? Okay. All right. Very good. So if we could get Dr. Byrne on the phone, we're going to move forward with Section 4, Number 2, Case 2380 regarding, I guess I'll wait for Dr. Byrne to get on the phone. So, and the Dr. Nosley is recused. It's loud. Well, it's good. We'll be able to hear.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Byrne. It's Victoria. I've got you on speakerphone.
Hi there.
We're going to start with Dr. Hensberger, and then we were going to move into Dr. Pauletto's item, but I don't see her here yet. So we'll just kind of see where this goes time-wise.
We'll update you, Dr. Byrne. Okay. We'll figure that out.
So, Dr. Byrne, I'm going to turn you over to the chair. Thank you.
Okay, so Section 4, Number 2, Case 2380 regarding Don Hensberger, VMD, monthly appearance as required by interim consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided, including review of compliance with interim consent agreement. Hello, Dr. Hensberger.
Hello.
Okay, so for your monthly appearance, we've gotten updates. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine.
Doing
well. And I was looking at the materials because typically I wasn't the lead on your case, and I just had some questions. Do you have an interlock device on your vehicles or?
Not anymore.
You don't, okay. So when it comes to the breathalyzer on practice, is that provided by the practice, the device that they use?
No, I had to buy it.
Yeah, that was her issue right there.
Got it, okay. And then does it have like calibrations that are done on it, or how do you verify the?
It does have calibrations, and I will be sending it for calibration. And in the meantime, my employer has said it was okay to get a cheaper one to use for a short time, because mm-hmm. that one was quite expensive in my world. But it does need to, it will need to go for a calibration next month, because it's every 6 months.
Got it, okay.
And I started in April.
And then, Victoria, on that process, you're communicating with the practice manager and get the reports, is that?
They send them to email.
They send them, okay. Could we ask for an update from the practice manager? And the reason I'm asking is because I noticed that the practice manager, who I, you know, saw the communications with, is indicated doing the testing. However, it looks like maybe other team members are also doing that.
Yes.
And my concern is just to find out why it wouldn't be the practice manager or maybe a peer or responsible veterinarian, because when you have subordinates doing that, that's a little intimidating, you know, if they were to have a result.
Jennifer is the one practice manager who handles all the business stuff. Sherry is the practice manager, and most of the time it's her. Dr. Lynn, when she's there, is the other one. Dawn is our lead technician manager, who's been there for 12 years. And the only other two people that I've had to use, they do it together, are a technician and a receptionist.
But I've never seen two names on any of the logs. Is that I've only
it
seen
it doesn't one. Happen very often at all.
So okay. So
most of the time it's Sherry. If it's not, it's Dawn. If it's not, it's Dr. Lynn. And the other people are only if those three people are not there.
And they do it in tandem together?
The three people.
If it's not, so S. Walters, that is
Sherry is okay. The in-office manager.
And then I see Dawn.
Dawn is the technician manager.
Okay, and then, okay, so there's just one other name, M. S-Y-P-H-E-D?
Yes, Melinda, and I do it with Melinda and Denise. I will remind Denise that she has to log it because I didn't realize she wasn't.
Got it. So that is
that was the one. They are in tandem, so there's two people
okay.
that are not technically upper management.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so I see that here too.
I will.
9193.
I didn't realize she wasn't, so I will okay. remind her that she needs okay. to. Do
well,
that.
And again, we can reach out to you know to the practice manager.
So we just want confirmation on who's. That
yeah, just again, because it kind of, like, at least, and I don't know if you guys have it, but if I'm a subordinate, I'm not going to...
I see your point.
I it's just, you know, that's a lot of responsibility yeah. on them. So.
Someone with the oversight.
Yeah.
I don't know if it matters to you, but M. Seifert is in the AA program with me, and she would probably be more offended and pissed off if it was screwed up, but...
Okay. Yeah, I mean... That's again.
But yes, I will. Or you want to make sure that when it's not one of those three, that there's two initials.
Okay.
That's fine.
And again, we'll get that clarified too through.
But that was staff. When we set up this before I even brought it to the board. It was going to be one of those three people: Dawn, Sherry, or Dr. Lynn. And Dr. Nosley has done it a few times because he's been the one there.
Okay. And then we did get an update, a counseling update.
Yes.
How's that going?
Good.
As far as moving to monthly sessions, I don't think we have anything in our consent agreement as far as frequency of sessions.
No, it says whatever she decides is to let you guys know.
No. Okay. Yeah, I don't recall that part. I think the biggest part that struck me was developing a relapse prevention plan and working on steps. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is that just remembering that it's really fragile. We're very early on, you know, this is not like we've got all this figured out. You know, we've had recent things. So just as far as that being like your biggest priority and you know, we're rooting for you, but making sure that, you know, that not stepping down too fast, you know, because again, we've just recently been there. Does anybody have any questions? For Dr. Hunsberger, do you have any questions of us?
Since it's been 6 months, can we have the breathalyzer reports be sent monthly the week before they meet instead of twice a month?
I mean, I don't think that's really labor intensive on the team to do it bi-weekly, so I mean, I think.
My question I've had before is if I'm getting the breathalyzer test 5 days a week, why do I have to get blood testing?
Well, so you know about the breathalyzer, right? The blood testing is random.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Yeah, but in the last 6 months, every blood test has been on a day I've worked.
Yeah, this is not an easy or, I would say, a convenient process for anybody, so.
And I just wanted to verify my supervision said for 6 months, and that was in March, so to have a direct supervision ends this month?
That is a good question. I don't, I'll have to look that up.
It's on here right now.
Oh yeah, I don't have it in this one, do I? I don't have the consent agreement in front of me.
Is that something that?
I'm good. She's good.
Oh, okay.
Because people are taking vacations, so scheduling is getting harder.
This time of year.
Well, this was February 23rd. This was this day lifted. So.
Page 5 of 6 on the March 28th, direct supervision ensures she provides preventative medical services only under direct supervision for the first 6 months of the term of this amended in term of consent agreement. And that was on March 28th. So I just wanted to make sure to let her know if that was okay.
Was that, I have a quick question, was that before or after relapse?
After.
So on the last, let's see, the amendment to the interim consent agreement, which was effective March 28th, 2024, it does, number 4 is direct supervision while providing veterinary medical services. Respondent shall cause her employer to ensure that she provides veterinary medical services only under direct supervision for the first 6 months of the term of the amended interim consent agreement. So March to November, or to September would be 6 months.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for us?
No, just the one I've had the last 3 months since we did the telephone one, if there's any way we can move to the modern world or do this via Zoom.
So much fun getting to see your face.
Do we have anything in the agreement as to how so that they have to be in person for the first year? Is that?
Yeah, we've got it outlined
in there. It definitely says come in. We've always had people come in person.
Yeah, and it is notated.
Always.
I just couldn't remember how long that was because some.
Well, yeah, then it moves to quarterly. Then it moves to quarterly.
It moves to quarterly. And some of those we've done via Zoom. Like, or
if there's so for example, I think we had somebody post-op or something.
Well, we've
or
had,
if they're traveling, then they still want to report in.
We've had the one moved multiple it times via
forward or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also after towards the end of the
end of the
term.
It steps
down
eventually.
She's 4 years into it.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah.
We have to step down when they have to be in person. I know it goes monthly to quarterly, but when do we start allowing technology?
So what does change is after 6 months, the frequency can be stepped down to quarterly appearances at this point. If you want to do that, keeping in mind we still have an interim consent agreement for a reason.
That's the thing. ICA.
Then there's nothing about being able to step down to doing it remotely.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't know when all of this was enacted.
Because we have an ICA. Right, yeah, we have an ICA. And again, we did have a relapse. That's a thing. It's not we've been steady.
No, I mean the reason why you have to come in person versus internet and when that was started versus where technology has progressed to.
So we don't have people come by internet. So when the board decides to do a final consent agreement, that then you could discuss whether you wanted to step down to allow her to come telephonically or by some other method. But right now, the consent agreement is the consent agreement, and that's what we have in place. Okay.
So as far as that process goes, it's something we could agendize and as far as discussing the interim consent agreement versus...
Well, once we do the final, then we can discuss it at that point. But right now, there's no changes to anything.
I would say for now it's monthly. When we talk about whether we want to decrease, when are we ready to decrease to go to quarterly is when we also talk about anything else.
Yeah, because this is a long process and we're just at the beginning of stuff right now. So like I said, this is going to be going on for a bit. And when we start stepping stuff down is when we start seeing consistency over time, and that's just a time thing. So.
No, and I understand your point. I just, driving down here scares me.
Yeah.
Literally. I hate the traffic. I hate the construction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
Statistics.
Yeah. Arizona's super fun to commute in right now.
That's the only reason I bring it up.
Yeah. No, and eventually, but not right now. We can discuss that in the future.
And then Dr. Byrne, since you're on the phone, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did we find out Victoria for Dr.
Paletto? I haven't heard back from her attorney. I just want to make sure, if Dr. Paletto, you're not here, are you? I don't see Dr. Paletto. Okay, so I haven't been able to reach her attorney. I could step out and try to call the attorney and ask if he knows.
Okay. So do we, Dr. Byrne, I know you were just stepping in for that. Victoria, do you want to talk to Dr. Byrne and see what?
Yes. Does he have enough time to hang on?
Can we disconnect your call, Dr. Byrne, and then I'll have Victoria reach out to you so we can coordinate?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. We're going to, section 4, number 3, 24107, we're just going to pend for a minute. We're just trying to reach Dr. Paletto and her legal counsel, and then we need to coordinate with Dr. Byrne. Every recusal. So, with that being said, it looks like not quite too informal, so we can move forward with our initial investigative review. So, if everybody's okay with that, we do have section 2, number 3, case 24-121 regarding Nalani Yamanda DVM. Tracy, would you be able to read the front load on that case?
Yes, I can. So, case 24-121, the complainant is Kristen Chambers. The respondent is Nalani Yamada DVM. On March 5th, 2024, Max, a 13-year-old male beagle, was presented to respondent on referral after eating a corn cob. The dog had been seen by Animal Medical Center of Surprise. Blood work, radiographs, and a ovarian study were performed. Diagnostics were inconclusive for foreign body extraction, and the dog continued to decline throughout the day. The dog was transferred to respondent's premises for advanced care. The dog was triaged by respondent staff and respondent and deemed stable at that time. Complainant was provided a treatment plan for hospitalization and diagnostics, which were approved. Due to other emergencies and shift changes, the dog's treatment was delayed. A couple hours later, the dog arrested. CPR was initiated and complainant was contacted with what transpired. Complainant elected to discontinue CPR and the dog passed away. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3220-32, number 11, gross negligence, failure to treat the patient in a timely manner. The pet was presented, admitted for treatment, and treatment was delayed for a significant amount of time before the patient passed. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Thank you. And then, is it Yamanda?
It's Yamada.
Yamada, thank you. And so, if you could introduce yourself and counsel.
This is Ray Richardson, appearing with Dr. Yamada.
Great. And then, do you have a statement?
I do. All right. I appreciate the board hearing me this morning and having the opportunity to be able to address you all. Every patient that and client that walks through any hospital door that comes into me is treated with the same care, thoughtfulness, and level and standard of medicine. And this was no different for Max. We knew Max was coming, and so upon his arrival, I immediately assigned myself to be his doctor. As soon as my triage assistant brought Max back, I performed my physical exam and my assessment, my initial triage assessment on him. Which is very important for me, right? It's what we need to know in order to provide immediate treatment for any patient that walks through the door of an emergency facility. At that time, though, I deemed Max stable. My technician calculated his heart rate to be at 180. When I assessed him, I calculated his heart rate to be at 140. Not something unusual for a dog that just arrives to an emergency facility. As far as Max goes, he arrived at our facility around 4:30. I signed myself within probably, I'd say, 5 minutes of him arriving. Due to two other patients that did require immediate attention and treatment, so a failing neonate and an actively seizing dog, I was not able to go talk to Max's owners until around 6:30 p.m. At which time, I spoke to them, I spoke about his history, and I spoke about a plan moving forward that we would provide to him based off of the information that I had received from his primary vet, which at that time we had received x-rays. And we had received communication from that primary vet to one of my other colleagues. And so in speaking with the owner, we came up with a plan for hospitalization, fluid therapy, and that hospitalization was a level at which he would receive vitals every 4 hours. He would get IV fluids, and we had him down for receiving, because he was vomiting, Serenia, and fluid therapy at that time. At that time, there was no indication that he needed any further urgent treatment or assessment. I did have down additional diagnostics because we did not have diagnostics from the primary at that time, which included repeat blood work, including a blood gas, a CBC, and a chemistry. I put down his treatments at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is the hour in which after rounding occurs. And so a shift change happens at 7. Our technicians round, our doctors round. And 8 p.m. is when I scheduled his treatment so that there would be substantial time for him to be able to, and a timely time for him to be able to receive his the care that he needed and that we agreed upon. His treatments did not start at 8 p.m. And so I checked in with my technical staff at 8:30, asking what was the delay and also finding out more information about, you know, who would be taking care of him further. I stepped away to see other patients and take care of other patients, and then and saw that Max's treatments had not been done, so I checked in again at 9:30, at which point I was told that they were actively preparing to get an IV catheter placed, pull blood, and get him transferred into the ICU. It was shortly thereafter at around 10 p.m. that my technician informed me that they found Max in the kennel, and he was agonal breathing. During those periods of times, however, Max was in our treatment area. So he was in the vision of all of our technical staff. And he was and did have husbandry performed on him twice, which the technical staff notified me that he had defecated twice, which was like a hemorrhagic liquid diarrhea. Neither of those times did my staff believe at the time that they performed husbandry that he was in any imminent or needed any imminent treatment or was at that time unstable. And so as far as losing a pet goes and as far as a passing pet goes, it's always difficult. It's difficult for the family who loses a beloved pet. It's difficult for staff, and it's difficult also as a veterinarian, which in this case, you know, should lead to a lot of thought and consideration for what could have been done differently and what can be done differently to hopefully prevent something like this happening again, which is why the following morning I had a meeting with the leadership team of the hospital, at which point adjustments to current policies were made as far as all patients that come to the hospital. The policy changes that were made were, one, every patient that comes to the hospital is assigned a technician. And so they are assigned for all care, all husbandry, all vital checks for that patient from the time they come in the hospital until they transfer to the ICU. In addition to that, vital checks were instituted every hour, which at this particular facility include mentation, temperature, heart rate, respiratory effort, pulses, mucous membranes, CRT, and blood pressure. And those policies have been instituted and are at the discretion of the doctor, but are instituted as soon as a patient comes in the hospital. And so as far as loss of a patient, as far as loss of, you know, Max for this family, I realize the impact that it has on the family. It definitely has had an impact on me, my thoughtfulness for the patients that come in to the hospital, the care that they receive, the quality of medicine that they receive and are offered, and certainly have impacted moving forward what is going on at this hospital as well.
Thank you. And we do not have the complaint present. Is that correct?
As far as I know.
Okay. All right, you go ahead and start. Thank you. So we do have Dr. Nosley. You are the lead on this case.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is a case, a very unfortunate case, where there isn't any disagreement that this patient spent a substantial amount of time in a critical care facility, not receiving any treatments that have been ordered by the doctor. And there's no disagreement that that happened. The investigative committee felt there was a violation.
that...
What we look at in these kind of cases, and particularly this one, I think it does have to do with responsibility of everyone involved. But unfortunately, ultimately, the responsibility lies with the respondent. In the case of the actions of the technical staff, with the possible exception of CBTs. With the recommendation by the investigative committee, and I still have a lot of questions, and still have to clarify some of the things that were said in the investigative committee and some questions myself. I appreciate what we've heard today and answered some of those, but I still feel with this case, deceased patient, this kind of circumstance that we should move to informal. So I'm going to make a motion that we move to informal to hear more about this.
Second.
Yeah. Okay, second that too, but thank you for mentioning the CBT thing, because like I said, someone has to be responsible. And if you pass it off to a non-certified, unfortunately, that's still under the doctor.
Under the doctor, exactly. We have somebody second.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sorry. So we do have a first
Dr. Ryder.
And a second to move to informal. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Then, yes. Before we move on, again, because this responsibility and the protocols in place in the clinic at the time, I wanted to consider opening a case if we had CBTs involved. So I just want to clarify that the two technicians mentioned in the materials, Tassia Gonzalez and Eva Mondrego, are not CBTs. Is that correct?
Is that directing board staff boards to review the RD?
They may already know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, one very clearly says veterinary technician assistants. The other one says veterinary technician.
But I just wanted to clarify. Yeah. Right. I agree.
Well, no, in the written statement, it said veterinary technician assistant next to one, but the other said veterinary technician. Okay. So that one might be the question mark.
Be the question for one.
That was...
Can we figure that out right now? Is that possible?
If the person was CBT.
The one that was indicated veterinary technician that was indicated in the statement.
Can you repeat those names so I can look?
Sure.
Right now.
Tassia Gonzalez and Eva Mondrego.
No, on the Gonzalez. Let me double check that again. Mondrego,
I believe.
Mondrego.
Okay. I do not have Mondrego. It's spelled M-O-N. Is that how it starts?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I have nothing after that.
Thank you, Tracy. So with that, I would make a motion to open a case on the responsible veterinarian and hear from her regarding this. And the reason I'm doing that is because we shouldn't have a shift change as a reason for a patient not receiving.
Second.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so a motion and a second to open a case. The responsible veterinarian,
yes,
of the facility.
And before we vote on that, and the other reason is because we received a letter from the attorney, which basically amounts to a complaint against the responsible veterinarian. So,
yeah.
Timing-wise, do we want to hear from the responsible vet at the next meeting before we hear the informal? Because if the informal goes next month to informal, and we haven't heard from the responsible vet, we're going to be going, we have questions that haven't been answered.
Unless
we can do them together at the same time.
We might have to wait till November then to do the informal.
Okay, so can we just ask them for the cases to be on the same agenda? Because who knows, it might be November.
You want the responsible vet first and then the...
Well, one would be an IIR, the other would be informal.
Okay, oh, gotcha.
Yes, I would open the investigation and request a response from Dr. Timothy Benkowski. And once he responds, we can put it on the IIRs. Hopefully we can get that as soon as October, fingers crossed. And then hopefully then you guys can move that forward to the November informal.
Thank you. Does that answer your questions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and it may be enough if we do the IIR first in October to then do the informal later in the meeting in October. Sure. I just don't want to not have the answers on the first one before we do the informal.
Well, we'd have to notice the respondent, though, to be able to prepare for the informal, so we can just spring something on you.
Yeah. Right. So we'd notice that it would go in October, but at the same time, we would be pursuing the IIRs. It's just when we schedule the meeting, we would make sure we do that IIR before the informal. Right? Because Tracy just said that she thought she might be able to get the IIR on the October. So if we do the informal also in October, just in the afternoon, we'll know how the IIR is going to end up on this one. I don't think that one's going to need to move to an informal.
Yeah, but you never know. I'd just schedule for November because, I mean, it's going to increase the time frame on our
metrics, but I feel bad for people that are waiting forever. Whatever. This is a very stressful thing on veterinarians, and, like, I am sensitive to it, so.
But can we do, suggesting that we do an informal on the same case on the IIR that we did that morning?
The same day. Well, that, I don't know if that works.
But hold on, let Victoria.
Yeah,
you can't.
Because you got to give them fair notice for anything that's found.
No, not on the same case.
But if they find, but if something comes up on the new IIR, they have to have fair notice.
Board staff will do their very best to have both cases agendized for November.
Okay.
But what I'm hearing is that the new case isn't ready, we'll still hold the informal in November.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to notice everybody appropriately.
I know. I'm just going off of what Tracy said. She said she thought the IIR could go in October. What I'm saying is we don't need to push the informal to November if we're going to hear the IIR in October.
But if information comes out in the IIR.
For October, that's what.
Yeah.
For
the informal.
For the informal. So normally the informal is the month after we hear
it,
right?
Pardon?
So we just moved it to informal now. Normally it's like the next month.
Depending upon the notice. The period of time between board meetings and when the
is it always the
out.
Same?
Okay. It most of the time, because I can tell you, I flip back in my notes to see what we talked about in the informal, and it's almost always a month before, which is nice because then it's still fresh in your mind. If it starts going too long, you have to re-review the whole case, you forget what she said in her testimony, you're like starting all over again, so.
But if we're asking questions,
I'll let board staff figure it out. I just don't want to do the informal before we do the IR. Because then we're going to sit there and go, well, is that really a responsible vet problem, or is that her problem? And we've done this before, and then we have to end up pending it, and it gets.
But if we're wanting information from the responsible vet, whatever information comes out at the next meeting has to be, they have to have time to deal with that. We can't just spring an IR or informal on them at the same day as something.
I'm not talking about moving that. I'm not talking about that one going to informal.
No, I know. But if we're
the
getting information.
The informal on this one and the IIR.
I understand.
But if we get new information, they have to have
the lawyer has to be able to deal with the information that comes out in the next IIR against the responsible vet. So we can't just be like, okay, well, we've already heard that. We're ready to move on. Now that information has to go through the lawyer. They have to talk to their client about that and go through everything there. So we can't do it the same day. It's not possible. They have to, by law, give notice for any information.
I'm not thinking that the IIR next time would go to an informal. I think
no,
I have my questions
that
I need for this case.
I'm not talking about that one going to the informal. If we get information next month, they have to have time to deal with that information.
Yes, totally agree.
Afternoon is not enough
but
time.
What, I'm not saying afternoon for that one. What I'm saying is,
no,
can I put
this case cannot go next month, because if we're trying to get information from the responsible vet, the information that comes to the responsible vet now comes back to this case, which has to go through the lawyer in this case. We're not talking about the next case as an informal. We're talking about this case as an informal. If information is coming out from the responsible vet, they can't just be like, oh, well, in the afternoon, we're going to ask questions about this. No, they have to have time to notice that by law. That's what I'm saying, is it's not this case that's going to informal. Or it's,
and
it's,
I,
this
and
case,
I wasn't
it's
saying
not
that,
new
but
case.
Can we move on? Because it's just irritating
but no, but
the crap out of me.
Schedule for November, because that's where it is. We have to deal with the next case next month.
Next case. So we're now moving on to... Oh, she's here?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so I am recused.